insensible to me will scratch their heads in wonder when I tell them that I was quite emotional as I drove away from the campus, grateful for the educational experience, glad that it had finally come to an end, and proud that I had graduated from what was at the time the finest secondary educational institution in the country, if not in the world. He went on to say, the Andover experience was the trial of my lifetime. There are still times when I think that someone else, perhaps many others, should have been in my place. Many of my classmates undoubtedly agreed. There were a number of other self-critical comments, but I think this one by the old guy, whom I now count among my friends, was the best. Well, apparently the combination of the video and the essays had a wonderful effect on us. We began with handshakes. They were perfunctory. Old classmates clasped hands heartily, glad to see each other, even if they had no memory, or even an unpleasant memory, of the person they were greeting. People weren't just polite. They were really nice to each other. They really wanted to know what their classmates had been up to and what they thought about the world. Speaking of what we thought about the world, an aside about George W. Bush, who graduated a year ahead of us. The filmmaker had asked us if we remembered him. He had a stock list of questions he asked everybody, and then tailored it to the responses after that. But everybody was asked what they thought of George W. Bush or whether they remembered him. Boy, we ever remember him. Only one man had a positive comment, and that apparently was because he was a born-again Christian like Bush. Bush had been a jock with a capital J. He wasn't all that good at sports, but he worked hard at being a cool guy, and he was head cheerleader. Now that head cheerleader may sound strange, but remember this is a single-sex boys' school, and cheerleading was an accepted athletic endeavor, so head cheerleader was a pretty big deal. I might add, I think when he was president, he was still head cheerleader. Anyway, the film revealed that many of us, including the jocks, deplore Bush's disregard for everybody but his friends, his contempt for people who weren't like him, and his contempt for academics. So I guess our reaction to the ex-president was another unifying factor. I also think it had something to do with the new second principle, which is justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Many of us associated the adult President Bush with injustice. And at least back when we were teenagers, we thought he lacked a sense of equity and had zero compassion. This was particularly offensive since the school motto is non civi, Latin for not for oneself. Many agreed that the elder President Bush had exemplified his selflessness, but sadly not his son. So where was I before I wandered from the first principle to the second? The film and the essays. I think they helped us apply the first principle to each other and acknowledge each other's worth and dignity. We realized that apparently happy people had been unhappy. That apparently secure people had been dreadfully insecure, and that we had much more in common than we had thought. We recognized also the common bond of commitment to excellence in education, and many also spoke or wrote of the bond of service to others. There's that non civi, not for oneself. Once the old divisions were breached, we were both proud of what we had achieved in Andover and saddened at how often we had misjudged or mistreated each other. We felt for each other. We gave each other worth and dignity in far greater measure than before. Now, wouldn't it be great if whole communities of people could have an experience like watching a video of each other honestly expressing what they felt and reading each other's comments about events they all shared? Of course, this is easier to do in a reunion than in daily life. But we can do better than we have. There are ways. For example, down our way in Danby and Mount Tabor, a couple of guys decided they wanted to raise money to build a memorial to all the veterans from the Revolutionary War up to the present. We don't happen to have one. We have one of those generic Civil War kind of statues that just says in memory or something. As part of the fundraising effort, they decided that they should enable the community to get to know each other better than they do. Now you'd think that in Dandy, which has maybe 1,500 people, and Mount Tabor, which has 250, that we'd all know each other, but it's not so at all. So what they did is they organized roughly every couple of weeks public interviews in sort of a coffee house format. We all met in a store that wasn't being used as a store. There was room for maybe 50 people. And each 2 weeks, one of the organizers, who was really good at this, announced who he was going to interview, obviously by that person's permission, and asked a mixture of serious and funny questions. And the audience varied between, I'd say, 15 and 30 people, maybe. And we really learned a lot about each other. We learned people had backgrounds and skills we never even suspected. And we also, I think, learned more why people had certain attitudes. There was one guy who was well known as being very politically conservative, and once you discovered his experiences with the military during the Cold War, you got a much better idea of where he was coming from. Service on community boards can also, I think, do a little bit of what my reunion experience did. You were put together with people that you don't necessarily have anything to bond with other than that you're all willing to serve. And you find out interesting things about them. You begin to understand them better. I've been on our local school board for about a decade now, and I can say that one woman who I began by intensely disliking is now a friend. We have opportunities for this in our own church, too. We can do a little in joys and sorrows. We can do more in things like dinners and service auction events. Maybe the most in round table groups. They're smaller and more intimate. For those of you who have never participated in one of the ingredients is that you agree that what is said in the round table group stays there. So if anything, you get even deeper responses there than you would if I'm describing a prep school reunion. None of the 100 or so of us that attended the reunion made any kind of a pledge and we weren't going to tell anybody what we thought or heard. So think about our round table groups as a way of deepening your understanding of at least applying the first principle of giving and recognizing the inherent worth and dignity of everybody. If you have time, think about signing up for a roundtable group in the fall. In fact, do it even if you don't have time. Celebrate each other's worth and dignity, and support each other in applying justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Just take a moment of silence. Yeah.